Good morning, church. So good to be with you today. Man, what a wonderful time. Always look forward to being together. And even though I can't see you or shake your hand or whatever, but I know we're having this time. I always love it. I enjoy it. So thanks for tuning in. My name is Jeff Lightsey. I'm the pastor at the Methodist Church in Cameron, Texas, and so glad to be here with you this morning. As we get started, let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Some words to share with you today that, I mean, it's good. It's good. It is good news. But it also is sometimes hard to take. And so we're going to be looking in John chapter 12. If you have a Bible handy and you want to turn there, we'll be in John chapter 12. But before we get there, let us pray. God, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. We thank you for this time that we have together. God, we thank you that you are with us right here where we are. So we pray that we would be with you. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us. God, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, that you would speak through me to speak your words and your truth, God, and not mine, but what you have to say. And let us pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So today, look, I'm going to be honest with you, as honest as I know how to be. And that honesty is that I believe we are coming to a point in our American history where Christianity will definitely no longer be the norm. Used to be in our country that it was, you know, the thing was to be a Christian. If you were not a Christian, that was a huge insult. Nowadays, we get to where being a Christian can be an insult by culture. And we have seen just within our lifetimes, right, of how church, how God has been pushed out of our politics. God has been pushed out of our schools. The Bible, which used to be instrumental in teaching and in teaching kids how to read, now is not read in schools. Imagine you can take your Bible to school still. I did way back when, but it's not openly read. The morals of God are not talked about, and more and more and more we are getting pushed to this secularization. Now, I believe, this is just me, this is me personally, I believe that there is a move of God that is happening and will continue to happen. My fear is that once that move dies down, because they all do, because we're all people and this is how we respond, look through the Bible, this is the history, this is the story, I believe after that, Christianity could be in some really dark days within our country. this week I was thinking on how to really talk about that in specifics more so than I've already given. How to really help us understand and see what is going on. And then this week was the Democratic National Convention. And look, it is my policy to not talk about politics, not so much talk about politics, but take a political side from the pulpit. And I stick to that, okay? I care much more about your theology and about your relationship with God than I do about who you vote for. Honest, really. And I know wonderful people who are Republicans, I know wonderful people who are Democrats, and I know not so wonderful people on both sides and all sides. All right, so like I don't care about where your politics are. I care about where your theology is and where are you with God. But this is the example, okay, because this just happened. The Democratic National Convention and two constituency groups, as they were saying the Pledge of Allegiance, intentionally left out under God, one nation under God. They just said one nation, indivisible, skipped under God, purposefully. Okay, now this isn't the official Democrat stance, so please don't get upset with me if you're Democrat and lean that way or whatever. It is constituency groups, but this is why it's important. Not because of politics, not because I'm saying Democrats are bad and Republicans, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in our political realm, okay, just look at it like that. Look at the whole thing as one political realm of our country. And we have on a national standing that under God was left out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, it's just the Pledge of Allegiance, perhaps, right? But it's significant. It's significant that this happened on a national scale. Again, not talking about politics. I am talking about our culture. Our culture is in a place that hears that, and there are many people who praise that and think that it's good. We have come to a place where Christianity continues to get pushed away and secularization continues to be the norm. Now maybe you say, okay, you know, that's these people over there, and yes, of course, they're all crazy and in their bubble and doing crazy things, but here in Cameron, right, or wherever you may be listening to this, here we do things differently, you know, and we hold to God and our faith and our Christianity. But let me bring this to you. If I haven't already upset you this morning, maybe this will do it. I mean the churches in Cameron who have activities, have youth on Wednesday night, have been unable to get the coaches to stop having practices during youth programs in the evening. And that goes not just for football, but for baseball, for volleyball, for cheerleading, for band. I mean, you name it. There are activities, school yeoman activities on Wednesday night. You might say, well, that's just Wednesday night, Jeff. That's not a big deal. But I'm saying, what are we teaching our children? Are we teaching them that their Christianity is important, that their belief in God is important? Or are we teaching them to just be these good members of society, to play hard, to do the right thing? Now look, there are great, wonderful lessons in sports and all that stuff to be learned. What I'm saying is, church, God is continuing to be pushed aside and will continue to be even further. So here's the good news, though, okay? Here's the good news. Take heart, because this is the time that we get to stand on what we believe. And it's going to be hard in some cases, because there will be pushback. There will be people who come against us. There will be society, and we will feel pressured. But this is the time. We have to stand firm on the Word of God and on the Gospel. The Gospel, which literally means good news. We have good news to share today. Despite the bad news, we are going to get to this good news and talk about this good news. And more than what we are against, we are going to talk about what we are for. This world needs to know what we are for. So we're in John chapter 12. Jesus just gave a difficult message for some to hear. And there were people who were seeking to kill him. There were those who were upset and seeking to destroy those who followed him. This is John chapter 12. We're going to verse 42. We're going to read through 50, which is the end of chapter 12 there. It says, "Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for the fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." All right, do you catch that? Many of the authorities, that is those in Jerusalem, those authorities within the Jews, the Israel there, many of them did believe, but they feared the people. They feared the people more than they feared God. The fear of God is very important. And the way that I see it is that we are going to behave in a certain way many times based out of our fears. Based out of a fear of how people are going to perceive us, how people are going to receive us, what people are going to say about us or do to us. And, you know, we all have our different personalities, which fall in these different spectrums of what we are afraid of. But there is fear in there. And we are relational people. God made us to be in relationship. And so when you have a crowd of people that pushes you away, there is rejection. And rejection is not fun for anybody. But this is the thing, right? See, these people who believed, but they are afraid of the Pharisees. And then this verse 43 really gets to the heart of the matter. "For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." What people are going to say more than what God says. What if I pull my kid out and say he can't practice in football on Wednesday night because he's going to be at church and youth getting built up spiritually so that he has a solid spiritual foundation for what life is going to throw at him? Parents are going to say you're crazy. Parents are going to say you're holier than thou, right? Oh, you're so holy and good. Oh, who are you? Goody two shoes, blah, blah, blah. What are the coaches going to say? Well, you can pull your kid out, but they're not going to play. And so what are we afraid of? Are we more afraid of that glory that comes from people, of that glory that comes from being on the football team? Is that what we love? Or do we love God more than that? They loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. So then Jesus began to speak, verse 44. Says, and Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. This was a very problematic statement for those in authority, for those Pharisees. Jesus just put himself on equal authority as God the Father. And we as Christians, we know, right? Like, yes, this is what we confess. Jesus is God. He is the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But for those who did not believe, very problematic. Whoever sees me sees him who sent me. He is putting himself on the same level of authority, the same level of glory as the Father. And so here is our good news, all right? Number one, we are all sinners. That's not the greatest news to hear. It gets good, right? It gets good because it's good to know where we are. You can't heal a wound by ignoring it. You gotta open it up. You gotta look at it. You gotta see what's there. You gotta get in there and fix the wound. And the wound is that we have sinned. This is something that the world does not want to hear. We have sinned. No, the world wants to hear that you have sinned against me. Not that I, myself, personally, have sinned. All right, and so since I talked about the Democrats earlier, let me talk about the Republicans. Trump, from his own mouth, I don't know exactly when this was. I know it was as presidency, but said in a minute, well, I try not to sin, and then I don't have anything to repent of because I'm not sinning. That's problematic. We all have sin. We all have fallen short. We all need to repent. On a regular basis, we have sin. And here is the difference of Christianity and every other belief in the world. That we cannot save ourselves. Every other religion, even science religion, secular religion, right? They claim it's not a religion. Oh, it most definitely is. Every other religion. That we can save ourselves. We can be good enough. We can be smart enough. We can try hard enough. And we can do it. But no, we can't. And that is good news. You know why? Because it's the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. So since we are sinners, what are we to do? Here we have it. If anyone hears my words. Oh, yes. Jesus said in verse 46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. There it is. What do? We as sinners with this sin problem, we believe. We fully lay our lives down and believe in Jesus Christ. And when we come to Him, when we repent, not just saying that we're sorry, oh God, I'm so sorry that I did this thing, and I'm so sorry that this upset you, I'm so sorry, but no, repentance is turning away from that. It's confessing it, I did this thing, now I'm going to turn away from that and do my absolute best to not do that again. It is turning away from that lifestyle. When we believe, then we can be out of the darkness and we can be in the light of Christ. We can have this eternal life. He says in verse 50, and I know that His commandment is eternal life. That is commandment from the Father. Eternal life. So we are all sinners and we all have the opportunity, the chance to have this eternal life through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. No other can save other than Jesus. Here's the last part. So we are sinners. Jesus came to save us. And there is the judgment. The judgment. We all must face this judgment. We will all at some point be judged. Not by people, not by this world. Who cares what they have to say about things? They are not the ones giving out eternal life. They are not the ones holding the key. We will be judged by who? By the Father. That's what Jesus says. He says, verse 47, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. Seriously, Jesus himself, he said, I am not here to judge. I'm not the one who's judging. He says another place, you judge yourself. You say that this word is good, but then you're not following it. You're judging yourself. He says, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Why will that word judge him on the last day? Remember, the Father is the judge. And it says that Jesus, verse 49, he's talking about, well, I do what the Father has sent me to do, what to say and what to speak. Jesus' words are the Father's words. And is that which will judge on the last day. And here's the good news, that when we come to Christ, when we follow His commands, guess what's going to happen at that judgment? It's going to be good for us. The Father's going to look and say, hey, come, thank you for believing in me. Thank you for believing in my Son who I sent. Come, enjoy this eternal life. Here is this banqueting feast that we have to celebrate. It's going to be wonderful if we will turn to God and obey His commandments. And what about those who don't? Today, look, I'm being truthful with you. Truthful as I can. Those who do not come to know Jesus, to know the Father who sent Jesus, His only Son, those who do not repent and believe in these words of Christ, there is eternal damnation. That's the truth. I mean, it's in the Bible, more than one place, talking about this place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's not that God wants to send anybody there. I mean, He sent His one and only Son into the world to save the world. He sent His only Son and put Him on the cross so that the world will be saved. So those who say, oh, I can't believe in God because how could a loving God send people to hell? He didn't. He's not. You're sending yourself to hell because you won't believe. He's doing everything, putting it all in place. But there are many. There are many who are too prideful, who love themselves too much, who love the glory of man more than the glory that comes from God. There are many who will not believe. This is the message. This is the good news that the world hates. And we read it right here in John 12. It's not that now the world hates it. The world has always hated it. Why? Because it is our sinful nature to believe that we can save ourselves. It is our sinful nature to want to be God. We want to be the judge of what is right and what is wrong. That's why Adam and Eve, they ate that fruit. Why? So they could be like God. When God had already given it to them. And yet that's what we see. That's what we see within our culture, within our society. People want to be their own God. And that is ramping up in our society right now. I believe that's why things are more divisive now than they have been in a long time. I mean, I know we fought a civil war, so that's pretty divisive, right? You gotta be pretty divisive to fight a war with each other. But our political rhetoric, I mean, anything you say, if you're on one side, the other side is just gonna automatically disagree with. Why? Like, we can't even have a conversation about things anymore. And it's getting that way because we want to be our own judge. I determine what's right and wrong. And if you disagree with me, then you're clearly wrong. And it's that way with that group. That group that teaches that teaches inclusiveness. We need to be inclusive and affirming. Well, how about you include and affirm those who don't believe in you, with you, right? I went to seminary. It was in our manual before we started. I had to sign this thing to write in inclusive language that I could not refer to God as He, as the Bible refers to God. And, you know, on the flip side too, like saying she wasn't right, though there were some professors who didn't mind that at all. But that it had to be in this inclusive language, and it always got me. Like, why can you not see that this inclusiveness is the exact definition of what exclusive is? We want to be the judge. So this is what I'm saying today. I love you. I love you. And I want you to be prepared. I want you to know what to expect so that you can come across victorious. And so I want you to know that our country, unfortunately, seems to be going even further down this road of denying God and denying the gospel. So I want to remind you of what the gospel is, and that it is truly good news. And I want to encourage you to stand firm. Stand firm on that gospel, because it is the power to save. Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Oh Lord, forgive us when we have followed after our own ways, sought the glory of man more than the glory that comes from you. God, forgive us. Thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to know your truth and to stand firm. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been great to be here with you. Hopefully I didn't chase you off. Hopefully I'll see you next week. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.